Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
I am Troy Shockley, and this is the Coffee Break Podcast. Thanks for joining our chat today. Coffee Break brought to you by Cochrane Insurance. Well, some technical difficulties ate the first few seconds of our conversation today, but we're going to jump right in with Lianne Meyer. She's with Montana Supporting Military. I think you do it kind of quietly, but I want to make sure people know about your efforts. This is a big operation you've got going on.
Yeah, we've been doing it since 2003. We just, you know, our troops are over there. They're going to be over there. I mean, they're all around the world, literally all around the globe. And we're going to take care of them as long as they're deployed, because they need our support.
Yeah. So for those that maybe have missed you on the show before, can you explain at least briefly what Montana Supporting Military is all about? What it is that you do?
We send care packages to deployed troops with all of the branches. Doesn't matter if they're from Texas or, you know, they don't have to be from Montana. They will contact us, especially the ones that don't receive any support. That's why I started it back in 03. There are still a lot of them that don't get letter or care package, anything from home. Mm-hmm. Quite a few of them are in, they might be out, you know, in the hillside of Afghanistan or out in a remote area in Iraq or other countries. They don't have access to supplies. So we're their store, and we send what they need. We also take care of the dogs over there in the military working dogs. They have a very, very important mission of finding those EODs to protect our troops from them.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I know this is a personal thing for you also. This is not just something that you do because, I mean, this matters to you.
My son is currently deployed. I learned about it when he was in basic training of troops that were needing support, and he's a master sergeant in the Air Force now, and he's deployed until January, so he'll miss Christmas again, and he's got two little kids, and yeah, it's kind of personal.
yeah. Well, I mean, it's something that, as we've talked about before, it started pretty humbly, just you trying to show some love to a single military member, and now it's blown up to something pretty huge. And how has COVID impacted what it is that you do?
Oh, it's really impacted it. I mean, we were over there yesterday and looking at all these empty boxes, and are like, I sure hope we're able to, you know, get enough items to send over to them this year, because we weren't able to do our big drive in May for Military Appreciation Month. And we do have boxes around town. Three of them are there until November 15. We're doing our Christmas drive until November 15. We got to get it boxed up and sent over there. But there, we have them in 1889 Coffee House, the Scenic Brew, Van's Thriftway, and then we have permanent boxes in Mr. Wise Cleaners and Precision Embroidery.
Okay.
So people can just drop a few items in there. And money is also very important, because the shipping, it's about $50 anymore for one box. It's ridiculous. If we go in there, and it's nothing to pay $800 for shipping when we go in the post office.
Yeah. I mean, and it has obviously gotten tougher for you to send things out, just because of there being, as you mentioned, there's no drives. Nobody was really doing that in the spring or early summer. And even fundraisers, everything sort of either stopped or shifted to online, or, you know, and right now it is an important time for you. I mean, Christmas, one of those times that just amplifies being away from home, from family, from loved ones. And so a time when I know you really step up and you work to show our deployed troops some care.
Yes. And even we, you know, if people want to write some cards, if they can't afford or, you know, don't want to go out and go shopping, they can, you know, write a Christmas card and get them to us. And that means a lot to them too, for somebody that took some time to write them a message, knowing that people back home are thinking about them.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's tough, and you need help. So you have, as Lianne, we're talking with Lianne Meyer with Montana Supporting Military this morning, and they have a Christmas for the Troops drive going on. What are you collecting? You mentioned you've got various boxes set out through town, but what is it that you're looking for? What things do you need?
Well, things we don't need are toiletries. We've got plenty of those. You know, we don't need those. And the item, the box, the packaging can't be opened and not outdated. We will not send outdated items. But we do need coffee, nice, good quality coffee, High Country Jerky. They love that. Granola bars, protein bars, mixed nuts, trail mix, tuna or chicken in the pouch, dried fruit, toothbrushes, toothpaste, dental floss, chapstick, and stick deodorant. It can't be aerosol. We can't send any aerosols. Those are the main things that they ask for.
Yeah, I mean, anything that I guess that would be just a little piece of home. I mean, that's the biggest thing, right?
Yep.
Is just giving them a little bit of a reminder of home.
Right, exactly. And stainless coffee mugs, too. With one location, I mean, we got them a lot of, it depends on if they're inside all the time or if it's ones that go out on missions. I mean, they need the stainless mugs, you know, a ceramic mug or a styrofoam one isn't going to cut it for them. So,
yeah, I mean,
we try to make sure they're caffeinated over there.
Yeah. We want to make sure they have their caffeine. We here at the radio station know just how important that is. I actually made sure just before the show started, we've got Sheriff Dutton coming in here in a little bit. I imagine he'll be strolling through the door here shortly. I made sure that we had a fresh pot back there because the sheriff needs his caffeine too.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, there is a lot of things that people can pick up. You know, when you go out and do your grocery shopping, just throw one or two extra things in the cart, you know, because this is going, once again, to military members spread across the globe and to the men and women out there on the naval ships as well.
Correct. Yes, we do send to the ships. And along with that is today's the 20th anniversary when the USS Cole was struck out in the Persian Gulf there, and we got to remember those sailors that were lost and injured.
Yeah,
it changed a lot of things the way they do things.
And Lyon, there you mentioned them already, but I want to mention them again because now people are ready. They're waiting to hear where these are. The collection boxes, they're around town. Where are they at?
1889 Coffee House, the Scenic Brew Coffee, Van's Thriftway, Mr. Wise Cleaners, Precision Embroidery.
Okay. And they're going to be there just now until when? I mean, what's the deadline?
November 15 is the deadline to get stuff for Christmas, but we collect all year long. We send packages monthly.
Okay.
And so the two that are always there are Mr. Wise Cleaners and Precision Embroidery.
Okay. But in order to get them stuff
for
Christmas.
Or they can get a hold of us, you know. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. In order to get them stuff for Christmas,
website,
it's November 15th. Is that what you said?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. And our website where they can get a hold of us is mtsupportingmilitary.org. And there's info. I need to update it, but there will be updated info on there. Always something to do, you know.
Yeah.
They can get in touch with me through that. Or my number is 431-7699.
Okay. Yeah, we need to get the stuff to Lyon by mid-November because, you know, it takes things a little while to get shipped across the globe, right?
Yes.
Yeah. How long does it take for...
They literally drop it in by helicopter. I mean, and it's like a once a month deal. So
okay.
You got to make sure we don't miss that deadline. So
typically it goes from here and it gets to, I imagine, a central location, be it in the Mideast or wherever, and then it gets sent out to various units and that sort of thing?
Correct. Yeah, it gets handled numerous times. So it you know, when we pack the boxes, it's not like you do just going across country. They've got to be solid, well packed because they get literally thrown around numerous times getting to the final destination. So
yeah. Well, and you mentioned it, but money, of course, something that you can always use as well because these things are not inexpensive to ship internationally.
No, the Army and Air Force, that mail goes to New York and then it gets on military planes there. So it's, and then the Navy and Marines, they go out of San Diego. So we got to ship it across country before it even gets to them. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, and you mentioned them before I let you go. Cards, that's something I know we've talked about before. You mentioned it here, but those, in many ways, may be more important than the package of jerky or a stainless steel coffee mug. I mean, just to get a personal card, a note, a letter, that's a big deal.
It is. They love getting them and drawings and cards from kids. I mean, they, quite a few of them have kids of their own or they're older kids, the ones that are just 18, 19 years old. But getting something just, you don't have to make a card, but some people are awesome at cards that they make. But just that little effort that you took to show them that you appreciate them means an awful lot to them.
Yeah. Lion Meyer with Montana Supporting Military. They're doing fantastic work. So once again, Lion, the website, if people want to find out more information.
MTSupportingMilitary.org.
Okay. Lion, thank you so much for taking time. Thank you so much for what you're doing for our troops. Like I said, it's an important thing. And for anybody out there listening that can help out, it doesn't have to be big. We can all pitch in a little bit and fill those boxes for them to send out for this Christmas. So, Lyanne, I hope we get you not looking at empty boxes. I hope they're overflowing here very soon.
I hope so, too. We appreciate it. Helena is a wonderful community. They just need to know what's needed. So,
yeah.
Thank you all very much.
And if you missed any of the information, shoot me an email and I'll connect you with Lion. My email is just troy@montanaradio.com. We're going to go out and see. The sheriff said he was going to be here and I trust him. So I'm going to go out and see if he is out there. We'll be back with more Coffee Break coming up after this. I just wanted to step away from the show for a few seconds to tell you that if you miss an episode, you can always catch up. We're on iTunes, so find our show there or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Local and area events, city, state, and national officials, your neighbors doing incredible things. We talk to them all on Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
In today's always-on world, your business demands a simpler approach to network security. At Blackfoot Communications, we deliver state-of-the-art security solutions from the perimeter to endpoint devices and remote data backup for businesses across Montana. Ensure your company's network is online all the time. For more information, visit goblackfoot.com/security.
Welcome back in. This is Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley. Thank you for sticking around with us this morning. And Sheriff Leo Dutton, as promised, in the studio. He was just hanging out, drinking his coffee and reading the newspaper. That's why you like coming down here, right? You get a little break from the day. You get an early break.
I do. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Sheriff, it's been a busy few days for you, really, honestly, a tragic few days.
Yes,
We, of course, had the news break last week on Thursday, and then over the weekend, you released the identity of the man who died last week, and it's just such a terrible thing.
It is. Veteran suicide is, I don't want to say it's preventable, but it's certainly predictable. And if it's predictable, it's preventable. And that goes along with one suicide is too many. And what are the causal factors? Can we do something about it? I think there are many people who are trying. I think to say that it's going unnoticed is wrong. It's being noticed, but at what level and what rate? And are they realizing it as an epidemic that veterans are committing suicide? And why is that? Where is that coming from? I don't know. I'm not a veteran, but I can be part of the solution instead of part of the problem, and that's what I want to be.
Yeah, I mean, it made me curious about what help is made available for those in your office, just in terms of secondary trauma, because I know this is the job. I know these men and women have trained for this, but they're human beings, and
yes.
and they're certainly not immune to the things that they encounter, that they see, that has to pile up after some time.
Yep, it does. One of the things that we did start is a peer-to-peer review, or not a view, but a contact, where we send people off to school, and it's a 3 or 4 day mental health professionals that lead peer counselors, or not peer counselors, or peer debriefers, through a process about if someone's having trouble, a peer can go talk to another peer. They will do that. They're not going to come talk to me.
Right.
You know, it's just not going to happen. Maybe some of them. But they'll go talk to a peer. Now, those peers are trained to not alibi, not to have a sympathetic ear for bad behavior, but direct them into a positive solution. They're not a mental health professional. And if they recognize that, hey, this is bigger than you and I, you need to go and talk to a mental health professional, they'll refer them to that. I never know about it, and I'm fine with that. We get them the help they need, and that's anybody who works in our office. The other thing that we have is a critical incident stress debriefing team. When, you know, critical incident stress is something that affects everyone differently. You three people might go to the call, and you might have a reaction because of some unresolved issues in your life, or it's a demon you can't conquer. So you'll react differently. But when you get a large number, or just it can be a car wreck. And this will sound a bit biased, but sometimes it's rougher when you're dealing with a baby, mm-hmm. or when you're dealing with a young person. It's tragic when older people die as well. But that sense of not ever having the opportunity to live life is there, mm-hmm. and it will affect them, especially if you are an adult that has children and you can see your children there at that accident scene or whatever trauma scene that is. And that's the secondary trauma that piles up. And then the guilt of, did I do enough? If they die, then what could have I done? What should have I done? If I'd only said this, and it's not true. There's a man upstairs that makes those decisions, and we often think that we can control the outcome of things. We can do our best, and that's what we're trained to do. But we're overcome sometimes with guilt and with the idea that we're paid. We're paid to be there. We're paid to make something different and better. So it doesn't always work, but we have some safeguards in effect. You can't get it all. Someone has to reach out. First thing you'll notice is small things in their behavior. And I can say, you know, we don't catch them all. Sometimes it gets far-reaching before we notice it. And when it becomes a breaking of a law, policy violations you can work with, those kind of things. Or, you know, it's happened where we've had an employee come walk in and said, I messed up. I can't do this. This is what's going on. And we drop everything and we'll get them sent off to a place that's professional, get them help, and hopefully get them back where they want to be.
Yeah. Sheriff Leo Dutton is our guest on Coffee Break this morning. And is the culture such, and I know you can't speak for law enforcement as a whole, you know, necessarily, but at least in your department, is the culture such that people feel able to do that? I know we've had military members on the show before talking about, you know, it's almost ingrained into them that you suck it up and you deal with these things and you move on. And it's overcoming that mentality. I can see where that same thing could apply to law enforcement. You know what I'm asking.
Yeah, I am.
Are you in a place, is your department in a place where people feel free to be able to do that?
I would say my office suffers a little bit from peer pressure. I think we have made great strides there. But when do you know you've overcome it? Mm-hmm. You don't. When someone, because I never know. I don't want to know. If an employee has went to a mental health professional, that's them. That's what we say. Go get help. Go get those things that will help you get back on the job. We'll never know it, and we don't. But I think it's starting to, and it's because of mid-level leaders like sergeants saying, hey, you know what? I've had the same problem. I had to go log some couch time or maybe even some medication to stabilize me. I may be on it for a little while. I may be on it the rest of my life. But they've had the courage to step up, and because of that mid-level management leadership, I think others have followed along because it's based on peer pressure. What looks tough? What looks macho? Now, if you're in the middle of a fight, there's no time. There's no crying in baseball.
Right.
But afterwards, afterwards, when you're thinking about the carnage and the trauma and the life's ripped from the earth, that's when it hits you. That's when you're trying to go to sleep and you think about the mangled bodies, you think about the smells, you think about the sounds, the screams, and that's when you should ask, hey, can I talk to somebody?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's something that a lot of times we as citizens sort of take for granted. But I thank you to you and to everybody out there that are putting themselves not just in the line of bullets and knives, you know, things that we always think about, but just putting themselves in line of that emotional trauma. I appreciate that. And I think it's something that showed, I guess just as an aside, is how well and how immediately the various agencies, the law enforcement agencies, came together and worked together. We've seen that before, of course, and we talk about it between the volunteer fire departments, how they work so well together. And it's not something that happens. From talking with them, they talk with other volunteer chiefs around the country, and they're going, how did you guys do that? That doesn't happen here. Is it the same for the law enforcement agencies? Because we had multiple agencies working together on the same scene, from what I can tell, very, very effectively.
I hate to admit this, but I think the fire department is better than we are at that. I think that they have a cohesive group that begins to reach out. They reach out for mutual aid a lot more than we do. We get into the mindset that we can handle this. Do we have the resources? We work double shifts. We do all those kind of things. A fire is an event, and you can call in for additional people. You can come in and handle it. Then you go back and talk about what happened. Our big events, we will call in people, but it takes a lot when you're going to call in other peace officers. But it doesn't happen as quite as often as fire department, and they're good about it, and they're good about debriefing, and we have a great partnership with them. I really think so. I think we're learning how to be more communicating on a personal level, and we're teaching them how to preserve a scene.
Yeah.
You know, there's many things that we can learn from each other, and we enjoy the fact that we get together for public safety. We get together for trying to preserve the life of a human being, and they see a lot too. I mean, it's not just us. They are there on car crashes as a recovering paramedic. I can tell you that EMS sees it all day long, all year long. And I did 24 years of that, so I feel qualified to mention them and to say hats off to paramedics, nurses, and doctors that work the emergency room to see that carnage, have a plan. I tell you, it does give you a sense of relief to have a plan to help someone. You feel less guilty. The most guilt you get is when you are standing there and you feel helpless, when you can't do anything. And that propels some people to go get training. That was me, 1981. That's what started me. Well, actually, 1974 with my first class of advanced first aid. But sometimes guilt can be good, because it can compel you to action. It can say, I want to make a difference. I don't want to stand here wishing I could do something. I need to do something. But then what do you do with that afterwards? So we have a kind of a forgotten group sometimes, and that's the mental health people. Not, well, them too, but the emergency people.
Yeah.
You know,
We're coming up. We've got about 3 minutes left with the sheriff, and we're coming up on Halloween. This one looks, I guess, different in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
it's still a good time, I guess, to think about various safety things, be it for the kiddos that are going to be out, or you know, the people that are driving, because there are going to be. I mean, what do people need to be aware of coming up here in a couple weeks?
Well, same things we talk about every year. Make sure, I know you like to dress in black, and go trick-or-treating at night.
Right.
So some people have gotten better. They trick-or-treat during the day. They go out. Some people I see carrying flashlights, and they swing the light to make it look so it's noticeable to a driver. They're just, kids are unpredictable. We all were when we were kids, to dart out from a car because you lost something. Please keep an eye on your children. Don't go to houses you don't know. If the light is off, don't bother knocking. And, you know, that's with everyone being nervous right now, I'd lay off some of the pranks. You know, the if somebody didn't give you candy and now you're going to do something to their house, the trick part, it might not be such a good year for that. Might just trip the catch pan or on the mouse trap that you just be careful of that. Be mindful. You want to go out and have a reason to get candy for your kids and you're trying to celebrate. Do that responsibly. Again, don't drink and drive. If you drink, I'm not talking to the kids here. I'm talking to the adults. Just don't get that confused. Have a sober driver. Buckle up. And if you're walking, again, wear something shiny that reflects. You can still be in the dark, but you have some kind of reflective clothing on or something that will help. And don't go to houses you don't know. Look at candy. If it's prepackaged, that's good. If it's prepackaged and ripped open, get rid of it.
We got 1 minute left, Sheriff. The remodel out there at the detention center. We're gonna have to stop talking about that pretty soon because you're just about ready to cut
well,
the
I
ribbon,
sure
right?
Hope so. I sure hope so. Now with this COVID, that reminds me, everybody that had COVID-19 in the jail has recovered. So staff has recovered. The inmates have recovered.
Great.
We're going to still do some testing with the health department, and that's good. So hopefully the construction workers, hopefully back. Now we're looking at sometime in November to finish the top floor.
Okay. So it's still coming.
Yeah, it's still coming.
almost,
we're getting there.
You're almost there. In our final few seconds, I guess we talked about it before, but Jason Grimace taking a new post over at Carroll College. Are you looking to replace him pretty soon? I don't know how you replace that guy, but...
You know, some people just leave a spot in your heart when they leave, and he's one of them. I'll have interviews tomorrow. I open it up internally first, and I have three applicants. We'll go over those tomorrow and see where we go.
All right. Well, whoever you pick, you know, their first assignment can be coming on the show, and you can see how they handle that.
All right. That'd be good.
I like it.
Yeah.
We've got the new undersheriff, to be named, coming on the show at some point here in the near future. But that's all the time we have for today. I'm Troy Shockley, and that's it for Coffee Break today. Be sure to check us out on iTunes. Head on over. Give us a review there. That's always much appreciated. Or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you back here tomorrow.